Oh, hallelujah. What an example tonight of real faith. Facing all that she's faced, is facing, and yet she rises to give praise to the Lord. Oh, hallelujah. I said hallelujah. Praise the name of the Lord. Oh, hallelujah. I'm telling you, that Spirit of the Lord began to move on the Valley of Bones. But it wasn't long till they came together. Flesh came on them, and God raised up a mighty army. His Spirit is life. How many knows that tonight? His Spirit is life. Oh, hallelujah. Dead in trespasses and sin, His Spirit breathes, and a new man comes alive. A new person comes alive. Amen. Hallelujah. One day they may lay us in a grave, but the Spirit of the Lord will come, and there'll be life. Wherever His Spirit is, there He's the Spirit of life. Hallelujah. Let's praise Him again. Hallelujah. 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 Oh, thank you, Jesus. Oh, hallelujah. 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 Praise the Lord. I'm not being derogatory, just observant. It's kind of like we're resting up after the revival or something, the service tonight. That's okay. I was boys' dorm supervisor, and I did morning devotions at 6:15 in the morning, so I know how to just keep on going. Amen. Praise God. I believe the Lord has a purpose for this service tonight. I believe there's things He wants to speak to our heart. I know we've been in a series on Sunday night about our gifts, what in the world are you to do in the church, and we will be back on that. But I guess just a part of that end of the revival where we're at, I wanted to go just a little bit different direction tonight and believe the Lord to meet us in the altar here in just a little bit. Amen. I'd like for you to turn to the epistle to Titus chapter 2. Titus chapter 2. Oh, hallelujah. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Would you stand for the reading of God's word? Titus chapter 2, verse 11. Paul says, "For the grace of God that bringeth salvation hath appeared to all men, teaching us that denying ungodliness and worldly lust, we should live soberly and righteously and godly in this present world." He didn't just stop there. He said, not only are we living righteous and avoiding ungodliness, he said, we are looking for that blessed hope and the glorious appearing of the great God and our Savior, Jesus Christ, who gave Himself for us that He might redeem us from all iniquity and purify unto Himself a peculiar, that doesn't mean odd, that means special, a special to Him people, zealous of good works. Amen. Verse 11 says, "For the grace of God." We will not begin to even touch that subject tonight. I just want to mention just a few things from this text about it. And it's not a novel title, but I just want to talk to us all across this building tonight about the grace of God. The grace of God. Oh, hallelujah. Can anyone here say that you'd be here tonight if it wasn't for the grace of God? Can anyone lift a hand and say, I'd be here without the grace of God? Oh, aren't you glad He's a God of grace and mercy? Let's praise Him for it. Hallelujah. Thank you for your grace. Oh, the grace that you show, bringing us up, Lord, saving us, delivering us, setting us free. Oh, God, in a moment of darkness, your grace. In a moment of weakness, your grace. Hallelujah. We thank you, Jesus. Amen. God bless you tonight. You can be seated. Several years ago, I was driving east on 35, and I want to make clear I was alone. I wasn't driving the church van. And I got preoccupied in my mind, and I was coming up on an intersection, and I don't know what happened. But when I looked up, I was already in the intersection, and it was a red light. I was running a red light. And it got worse. As I ran the red light, I looked in the left turn lane facing me, and there was a deputy sheriff sitting right there looking right at me. I ran that red light, and I shuddered as I went through. And I waited, looking in the rearview mirror, I waited for the lights, you know. listen for the siren. He never came. As I went down the road, I said, I just got double grace. Number one, I didn't get hit or hit anybody running the red light. And number two, that man looked right at me. He knew perfectly well what I did. And he didn't come after me and hit me up with a ticket. That's double grace. Wouldn't you say? I was pretty thrilled about it. I want to tell you something. What was my response to that? Did I say, well, I ran a red light and got by with it? I ran a red light, didn't get hit. I ran a red light and didn't get a ticket, even though the police was looking right at me. I think I'll go down the road and run another one. Was that my response? No, sir, my response. I mean, I shuddered. I was so grateful and thankful I hadn't hit anyone and got hit. I was so thankful I didn't have a $100, $150 ticket. I said, by the grace of God, I'll pay more attention and I'll never run a red light again. Aren't you glad I got saved? I'll never run a red light again. See, I want to tell you something. If you really have experienced grace, you won't say, well, I've experienced God's grace. He forgave me. I didn't deserve it. Well, praise God. I know how this grace thing works now, and I can live any way I want to live and do anything I want to do and go ahead and partake of the things of the world and the things that got me in the mess to start with, because God's so gracious and He's so merciful. He'll just keep forgiving me. No, if you've really been a recipient of grace, you'll say, I'm so thankful. I'm so grateful by the help and the grace of God. I want no more of the world. I want no more of sin. I want no more of darkness. And by the grace of God, I'll live my life in an effort to be pleasing before Him. How many had that kind of grace get a hold of your heart when you got saved? Hallelujah. That's what the kind of grace that we read about tonight. I believe that's what Paul had in mind when he said, the grace of God that bringeth salvation hath appeared to all men, teaching us that denying ungodliness and worldly lust, we should live soberly and righteously and godly in this present world. He's saying, you get a hold of this kind of grace. Amen. It'll change everything about your life, your living, your thinking, your aspirations, your desires. Oh, I'm telling you, God's grace will change you. Hallelujah. How many's glad to know one more time tonight, where sin did abound, grace did much more abound. Oh, hallelujah. It's not just a grace that'll pick you up out of sin. It's a grace that'll keep you out of sin, from going back to sin. What a grace. I want to just look at a few things about this tonight. First of all, Paul has told us what the grace of God is. What the grace of God is. This is such a deep subject. So many scriptures, so many theology. I'm not even going to begin to get into all that. But I want to begin with an illustration that I think illustrates what the grace of God is. And listen, first of all, I want to preface that those that have worked or are working as waitresses and waiters, I've got utmost respect for you. Sometimes, you know, I feel compelled to tip maybe a little more than I should because I've been on that end of it. So I have a lot of understanding for that. But how many's ever got a really bad waitress? Oh, my. Well, I'm already boring you. I might as well just tell you a story. How about that? How many remembers when the Frisch's used to be up here? Okay, you know, you step through the door and slide 10 feet. You remember that? Sorry. We used to go up there for Sunday lunch or after church. Well, you know, we sat down one Sunday, and I'm not being cruel. I'm just telling you the story, okay? We're looking at our menus, and there's this voice that was grating. I mean, just immediately your nerves, you know. Can I help you? And this lady, bless her heart, if she had tried, she could have got more things wrong. I'm serious. I mean, everything we ordered was backwards. She brought it the wrong time. She didn't keep the drinks filled up. I mean, it was a horrible experience. If I'd been different people, I would have called for the manager. You know, it was just really, really bad. And I'll tell you what, how that ended up later. But about 2 weeks later, my dad comes from Oklahoma, and we're going to go out for breakfast, something we hardly ever got to do. And at first I thought, we'll go up there to Frisch's. And then I had that memory. I said, I'm not going to put my dad through that, you know. And so this used to be Willow's up here on 35, you know, New Lebanon. They just opened up under new management. I thought, we'll go there because I don't want to face that again. And we sat down at the table. We're there in the picture window. And we're looking at our menus. And all of a sudden, I heard, can I help you? And I looked up. It was the same waitress. She got fired from Frisch's and showed up there. Now, I'm telling this as an illustration. I'm not saying I'm good or I'm righteous or whatever. But on both occasions, I reached a little deeper in my pocket and made up a really good tip. You know, I'm telling you, that's a little picture of grace. The waitress is bad, doesn't keep the drinks filled, doesn't get the order right, doesn't get there on time, doesn't deserve it. In fact, she deserves being chewed out by the manager. But you leave a big tip on the table. That's just grace. And for we're too hard on the waitress, can we remember we was in the same place? No way we deserved it. We needed to chew it out and worse. And oh God, put right there on the table of our heart mercy and forgiveness and love. Oh, aren't you grateful for the grace of God tonight? And so in very simple definition, grace is God showing us kindness when we don't deserve it. Grace is God showing us kindness when we don't deserve it. Grace is a little more than that, and I won't get to the end of it. But grace is also doing for us what we could not do for ourselves. Oh, hallelujah. How many would agree with those two things? Grace is God showing us kindness when we don't deserve it. And grace is God doing for us what we cannot and could not do for ourselves. Couldn't save ourselves. Couldn't get ourselves out of the mess we was in. Couldn't extract ourselves from the pit that we were in and didn't deserve the help. But oh, God reached down. I said, God reached down into the pit. And when we couldn't get out, He picked us out and put our feet on a rock. I'm telling you, that's the grace of God. And so grace is kindness we don't deserve. And grace is doing for us what we cannot do for ourselves. But hear me tonight. Grace is never, ever thinking to ourselves, since God will forgive when I do wrong, I'll just keep on doing wrong. That's not grace. Somehow some people's got a hold of that. That grace is knowing that God is forgiving. And so you just go keep on doing wrong. Keep on doing. I mean, that's not grace. Even that's presumption. Oh, I'm so thankful for the grace of God and His mercy. I could preach on that, but I just want to read the psalmist's glimpse of grace from Psalms 103, verse 8. The Lord is merciful and gracious. Listen, He is slow to anger and plenteous in mercy. He will not always chide, neither will He keep His anger forever. Oh, here it is. We could shout all night right here. Verse 10, He hath not dealt with us after our sins, nor rewarded us according to our iniquities. I'm telling you, that's grace right there. Amen. We had sin, we had iniquity, but God did not deal with us according to our sins. He dealt with us according to His love. He dealt with us according to the one, the bleeding Son on the cross of Calvary. Oh, hallelujah. Aren't you glad when God gets ready to deal with us? He doesn't look at our record. He looks at what Christ has done. He looks at the mercies of Christ. Oh, thank you for your grace, Lord. For as high as heaven is high above the earth, so great is His mercy towards them that fear Him. Oh, it gets better. As far as the east is from the west, so far hath He removed our transgressions. Oh, I'm telling you, He can do that tonight. You see, I've got too many sins, too many transgressions. God doesn't look at us and say, I don't know if I can forgive you or not. You've got too many. No, God doesn't do that. He looks at the blood of Christ and said, it don't matter how many transgressions you have, I'll forgive you. Hallelujah. I'll change your life. I'll give you a new life. And when it's all said and done, I'll take your transgressions and remove them as far as you can imagine from your heart and life and record and mind. Oh, that's the grace of God. I know that didn't do it justice, but it gives us a glimpse. And then Paul answers this question, or tells us what the grace of God brings. You know, sometimes I get hung up on words. Go ahead, let's see that verse 11. It said, for the grace of God that bringeth. You know what that means? We don't have it. We couldn't even go to where it was. We couldn't obtain it. It's worse than that. We couldn't even find it. Oh, but what we needed, God brought it to us. Oh, hallelujah. Anybody grateful for that? Hallelujah. He brings it to us. Amen. What does he bring? Amen. I'm glad he didn't bring a club. He didn't bring a lightning bolt. He didn't bring a gavel. What did he bring? He brought salvation. Oh, hallelujah. I want you to know tonight, not just everybody in the sound, under the sound of my voice, not just everyone that may be listening on the internet, but every human born, the greatest need that they have is to be saved from sin so they can be saved from eternal hell. In our country, there's a lot of theologians trying to change the record and saying there's no hell. They first started acting like there was no sin, and now there's no hell. But I'm telling you, if that's so, God made a great mistake of sending his son to die. If there's no sin and no hell. But I want you to know, people's greatest need is to be saved. You say, I got financial problems. That's a need. You say, I got physical problems. That's a need. But I'm telling you, every one of us tonight, our greatest need is to be saved from sin so we can be saved from an eternity of hell. And our greatest need, he brought it to us. And so grace saves. Grace rescues. Grace delivers. You know, only people in trouble need saving. Only people that are perishing need saving. And I just thought of a silly illustration. But if all of a sudden I just took a big bucket of water and just poured it on top of Steve, he'd probably get angry and everybody would say, that was the craziest thing I ever saw. But let's change one thing. Let's say his clothes were literally burning with fire. And then I poured the bucket of water. That's not silly. That's a wonderful thing. Hallelujah. I'm telling you, it's a wonderful thing what Christ has done for us. It's wonderful because we were in trouble. He saves us. He brought salvation. Let's look at this verse. It hath appeared. It hath appeared. That means it was made known. How was the salvation? How did salvation appear? It appeared when Jesus was born of a Virgin Mary and began to walk this earth. Salvation appeared. In fact, I just was thinking of it as I just said that. Remember the old man Simeon? Mary and Joseph brought the baby Jesus to the temple. The Holy Ghost told Simeon to be there that day. Simeon took that baby and said, oh, I now can depart in peace because mine eyes have seen the salvation. I said, salvation appeared when Jesus appeared. Hallelujah. He walked this earth. He suffered. He bled. He was nailed to a cross. He died. That was salvation that appeared. You say, how does salvation appear today? It appears when we share the gospel of what Jesus has done. When we begin to preach, he came and he bled and he was nailed to the cross and he was buried in a tomb and he rose again. Amen. When we preach that's salvation. You say, that sounds foolish. Not to those that believe. They have found that that's the power of God. I'm not ashamed of this gospel of Jesus Christ because it's the power of God to change a life. If you just hear the story about Jesus and how he bore our sins to the cross and how he bled and how he rose again for our justification, that's not foolishness. That's a power to change your life. Salvation appears to the individual that hears that good news I just shared and believes it. Salvation has appeared through the preaching of the gospel of Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. It hath appeared to all men. Hallelujah. You know what that tells me? Nobody is excluded. Wherever you come from, whatever address is your address, whatever part of society you're from, whatever nationality, whatever education that you might have, whatever gender, amen, none of those things matter. Color of skin, amen, hallelujah, this grace of God brings salvation. It's appeared to all men. How many knows that all men, can all persons can be saved? Amen, folks, and get this idea today that somehow because of their difficulties or their sins or their background, they can't be saved. But I'm telling you, that's a lie. This salvation hath appeared to all people everywhere, and whosoever shall call on the name of the Lord shall be saved. I'm telling you, he's in the saving business. Glory to God. Amen. People don't need a change in self-esteem. They need a change of heart, mind, and life. Then Paul tells us what the grace of God teaches. It teaches us that denying ungodliness, listen, and worldly lust, we shall live soberly and righteously and godly in this present world. I've already alluded to it, but there is a very twisted concept of grace today. It starts out right. It starts out saying things I agree with. It does something like this. We deserve hell. We've done wrong. We cannot save ourselves. But God, by his grace, brings salvation to us. It starts out good. That's right. How many believes with that? But then it goes awry. And it says, oh, this grace of God is so wonderful. We need to realize since we could not save ourselves, we need a grace that we have no ability not to sin. And we'll just keep on sinning. And it really doesn't matter if we sin because of God's grace. Once we've accepted Christ, and once we've believed that we're saved by grace, it just doesn't matter. We can go back to our sins. We can live like the world. We can act like the world. We can think like the world. We can be involved in the things of the world. Amen. Because it doesn't matter because of grace. That's a twisted view of grace. And I need to go nowhere else in Scripture but right here with what Paul said. Paul said, if you got the right kind of grace, it'll teach us to deny ungodliness, worldly lust, and to live not like this world, and stupidity and frivolity and ignorance and all the filthiness of mind and jokes and, well, basically what you would see on primetime TV. That wasn't taught to those producers by grace. That was taught to those producers by evil. Because the grace of God teaches us there's a holiness. Oh, there's a purity of mind and life and heart. And if you really get a hold of this, you know, I'm back to my illustration. I didn't want to run no more red lights. And if you've really got grace, amen. You know, and let's not get that backwards too. You know, some people view it this way. The grace of God teacheth us to deny ungodliness. In other words, the grace of God comes along and says, now, if you're going to be a Christian, you can't do that anymore. You got to stop doing that. That's bad, bad, bad for a Christian. I don't think that's how the grace of God teaches you. You just can't do that anymore. The grace of God teaches you this way. You're a Christian. You've had the grace of God. You don't even want to do that anymore. And secondly, you don't have to do that anymore. That's the way the grace of God teaches. It's not, you can't partake of the world anymore. You can't partake of it. No, it's not that at all. Grace of God comes and tells you, you're free. You don't have to live that life anymore. Oh, anyone had that happen in your heart? How many can remember that awareness hit you? I don't have to live that way anymore. And wasn't that followed with, I don't even want to live that way anymore. Hallelujah. You old timers have heard Brother Vaughn say, I got saved and I still drink all the beer I want to drink and dance all I want to dance and whatever else he said. He said, I drink it all I want to drink, dance all I want to drink. He said, I just don't want to drink anymore. Just don't want to dance anymore. Amen. That's how the grace of God teacheth us. It teaches us there's a better way to live. It teaches us we can now, by the power of Christ, we can live righteously. We can live God. And look what it says, in this present world. Do you know the word literally there is now, in the now world? What is the now world? Tell me, is the now world, is it righteous? Is it conducive to Christianity? The now world is wicked and evil. But look what he says. He said the grace of God will enable us to live godly in the now world. Oh, he said in another epistle, he came to deliver us from the now world. I mean, it's the now world. It can get a hold of a person. We're not to be under the power of the now world. We're to be under the power of the world to come. You shout while I cough here. I said, we're not under the influence of this now world. We're under the influence of the world to come. Glory to God. Oh, hallelujah. Let's move on. One more thing. We can look at others. But Paul says, tells us what the grace of God causes. Look at verse 13. Looking for that blessed hope and glorious appearing of the great God and our Savior, Jesus Christ. When this grace gets to work in our hearts, it brings us out of our sin. It teaches us we don't have to live in that any longer, but it'll do something else. If the grace of God is at work in your heart, it gives you a hope and an expectation for a brighter future. I want to tell you, amongst other things that sin does, sin will always take away your tomorrows in many, many, many different ways. I could preach that in many different ways. But sin, don't ever forget it. Sin will always take away your tomorrows. You let sin have its work, and everything of the future will be dark and bleak and hopeless. How many has lived in sin, and you know that's the truth? Sin will take away your tomorrows. Living for the now world will take away. But I'm telling you, let grace work. And there'll be something in your heart, whatever you're facing right now, in trial and difficulty, there'll be this hope and this expectation, oh, that there's something better and wonderful. There's a new day dawning. Hallelujah. How many, as believers, feels that in your heart tonight? The best is yet to come. Oh, hallelujah. I said hallelujah. The proverb said, the way of the transgressor is hard, but the path of the just is as a shining light that shineth brighter and brighter to the perfect day. Why? Because if you're a sinner, your tomorrows are taken away. You reach the dead end. But if you're serving the Lord, the bright things are ahead. Hallelujah. I said hallelujah. Aren't you glad for it tonight? Amen. And we're looking for that blessed hope and glorious appearing, thank you, of the great God and our Savior Jesus Christ. If I'm not living right, I'm afraid of the coming of the Lord. Amen. I don't want to see it happen. Amen. But if I have grace at work teaching me to deny ungodliness and worldly lust, I'm anticipating, I'm hoping, I'm looking forward to the glorious appearing of our, why wouldn't we want to see the return of our Savior, the one who brought us out? Oh, hallelujah. To be saved from the fire, I'm backtracking for just a moment, but to be saved from the fire means to be pulled out of the fire. To be saved from the water means to be pulled out of the water. And to be saved from sin means to be pulled out of sin. Somebody's still in the fire, they're not saved from fire. Somebody's still in the water, they're not saved from water. And somebody still in sin hasn't been saved from sin. Amen. Praise God. Hallelujah. No one who's lived sinfully and worldly will ever truly anticipate the coming of the Lord. Music, would you come? As I was preparing, I couldn't get away from this. Early in the morning, Jesus came again into the temple. And all the people came unto him, and he sat down and taught them. And the scribes and the Pharisees brought unto him a woman taken in adultery. And when they had set her in the midst, they said unto him, Master, the scribes and the Pharisees said to him, Master, this woman was taken in adultery in the very act. Now Moses in the law commanded us that such should be stoned. But what sayest thou? And this they said, tempting him, that they might prove him. You know, they're trying to trick him. What did Jesus do? As though he heard them not, he stooped down. He began to write on the ground. They continued asking him. Finally, he stood and he looked around at them. And he said, he that is without sin among you, let him first cast a stone at her. And again, he stooped down and wrote on the ground. And they which heard it, being convicted by their own conscience, went out one by one, beginning at the eldest even to the last. And Jesus was left alone, and the woman standing in the midst. And when Jesus lifted up himself and saw none but the woman, he saith unto her, woman, where are those thine accusers? Hath no man condemned thee? And she looked around and said, yea, Lord, no man. And Jesus said, neither do I condemn thee. Go thy way. And what? Sin no more. I believe as Brother Brad pointed out, Jesus said, he that was without sin among you, let him cast the first stone. Only one man there could have picked up a stone and thrown it. Oh, that was Jesus. He had ever right by the law. He had ever right by her sin to reach over. He had ever right by his sinlessness to reach over and pick up a rock and to throw. Oh, but grace. I said, oh, but grace. He didn't pick up the rock. I'm telling you, that's grace right there. God had ever right to pick up the rock. He didn't pick up the rock and cast it. That's the grace that appeared, saving her. But what did the grace immediately, get this. What did the grace that saved her immediately do? It began to teach her to live godly. And it said, go and sin no more. And I'll tell you one thing. When that lady left that day, had it escaped the accusations of those men in the stoning, she didn't say, well, I got by with that. Thank God he forgave me. I believe I'll go find another affair. I'm convinced that was not the case. She left her way thanking God. Oh, I think she felt pure within. And she said, because he's done so much for me, I'll never be involved in that kind of sin again. I'm through. I'm done. Why? Because the grace of God appeared and brought salvation. But the grace of God also taught her, neither do I condemn thee. Salvation. Go thy way and sin no more. Teaching. Hallelujah. Could you stand to your feet? Thank God for his grace. Hallelujah. Let's thank him across the building. Would you thank him? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Oh, God, you're so merciful. Lord, you're so merciful. Lord, you're so merciful. I told you this morning that God can forgive people that you and I may think can't be forgiven. It's so bad. It's so evil. Oh, but by his grace, he can forgive. Hallelujah. I wonder if you're here tonight without God. Maybe you know enough to know what your problem is. It's the things you've done that's wrong. You're tired of it. You're tired of the guilt, the condemnation, the darkness, the blackness. If you listen to the enemy of your soul, he'll tell you you're too bad. You're too messed up. You can't be saved. You can't know this new life. You can't know the assurance of going to heaven. Don't listen to that. Listen to the word of God. The grace of God that bringeth salvation hath appeared to all men. If you need Christ tonight, I want you to really think about this. Your life's a mess. You can't get yourself out of the mess. You can't save yourself. You can't straighten things out. I want to invite you to come to these steps we use as an altar. Come saying that, God, I can't straighten myself out. I can't straighten the situation out. Come saying, I don't deserve to be saved. I don't deserve your mercy. If you'll come doing that, I'm convinced if you'll call on his name, you'll be a recipient of his grace. And you'll leave here changed, saved, different. The hope of a bright tomorrow. Are you here? You need the Lord. I'd like to invite you to come right now. Are you here? Would you like to come right now? Oh, his grace. His grace. There on the cross, between those two thieves, that one wasn't just a thief, he was a terrorist. That's literally what he was. Done a lot of evil things. But Jesus looked at him when he talked to the Lord. And Jesus said, this day I'll see you in paradise. You'll be with me in paradise. That's grace. That's grace. The man didn't have time even to straighten out his life. He didn't have time even to make things right. He's dying. But the grace of God saved the terrorist a moment before he went into eternity. You need the Lord. Would you come tonight? Would you? Anyone in the building, you need salvation. Don't hesitate. That's the Spirit of the Lord that's speaking to you, dealing with your heart. Oh, hallelujah. Let's pray across the building, church. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Come on, let's pray. God, move and work. Oh, hallelujah. 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 That altar call is still open. I want to give another. I've never given one like this. But I wonder how many be honest, just real honest. You'd say, you know, I do have a bit of trouble with this present world. And I need the grace of God to do some teaching to me. I need the grace of God to teach me some things. How many be real honest and just answer that altar call tonight and say, you know, I do have some problems with this present world. And I want to invite the grace of God to teach me some things so I can live godly and righteously. Are there others that would come? You'd say, I'm just going to invite the grace of God to do some teaching to my heart. Oh, he'll teach you. His love will teach you. His mercy will teach you. Amen. That other altar call is still open. You don't know the Lord. You're tired of the darkness. You're tired of the struggle. Would you come? There'll be folks that'll pray with you. You need Jesus. You need Jesus. Would you come tonight? He's reaching out to you. Oh, what love. You say, I went too far. No, no, ma'am. No, sir. His grace will reach to that depth. You say, I just can't. You can, because he'll give you the grace. You need the Lord. Would you come tonight? Would you come tonight? In the name of Jesus, would you come? Because of the Christ of Calvary, would you come? Hallelujah. 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 Oh, hallelujah. Hallelujah. You need Jesus. He'll change your life. Would you hear the gospel tonight? He'll change your life. Thank you, Lord, for these that are willing to be taught. They're praying around the altar. Teach me grace. Teach me grace to live godly. Teach me grace to live pure. Teach me grace to deny this ungodliness of this world. Have a bright tomorrow. Grace will let you know you've got a future in God. Hallelujah. Thank you for your grace, Lord. His grace is for you. His grace is for you. Hallelujah. Is for you tonight. Hallelujah. And when we first began, it gives you victory over this now world. Hallelujah. Teaching us the denying of godliness and worldliness. We should live soberly and righteously and godly in this present world. Looking forward to that blessed appearing, glorious appearing, blessed hope of our great God and Savior, Jesus Christ. Thank you, Lord. just say to the Lord in this altar, I hear you, grace. I'm learning this evening in this altar. I'm learning from you. You're showing me that I don't have to do those things. You're even showing me even greater that I don't want to do those things, that I can live pure, I can live righteous, I can live victorious over this present evil world. Hallelujah. 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 Hallelujah.